Blog Talk Radio.
When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Way oh, hey oh, hey oh. When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo. When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Way yo, hey yo, hey yo. When the wind starts to blow and the rain starts to fall from the sky to the ground, Yahweh, listen, can you hear? Can you hear their beautiful song? Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo.
Welcome, welcome to Coal Voices. This is Viasha. I'm in Florida, and my co-host tonight, Peggy, well-known Buffalo, is in Montana, I believe. So, Peggy, welcome to Coal Voices.
Good evening. I have a lot of people here. We are right now in a parking lot outside the Crow, what is this called? Multi-purpose building. Now, remember I told you guys, we only have one building. And with how many crows?
14,000.
14,000 crow people. That's Apsalugat people on the reservation. And we have a one building that is, what size is that, Susie?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe
10,000 square feet, and it only has a gym there, and it has a small kitchen. So we put on our basketball camp with our, you know, we combine the basketball camp with the Indian traditional games. And can we interview you or not? I want to interview. Well, first of all, I'm going to interview Billy. Billy, what did you think of the camp?
I think it was awesome.
What did you like best about the basketball and the traditional games? What was your best time you had?
I think it was the stick and staff.
What is that? Can you tell us?
Double ball. It's double. Double ball is like a game, like Indians used to play back then. There's like two balls, and you're supposed to have a stick. You're supposed to pick it up, and you're supposed to throw it. Yeah.
Tell them a little bit about it. How did you do in this game?
Pretty good.
Uh-huh. Do you think you can teach someone?
Yeah, I think.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Can you put a team together, and we can make these, and... Do you think you can continue on? Now, Billy, how old are you?
11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Billy.
You're welcome.
That was Billy from in the program, and now I'm interviewing Brian. Brian, can you give us your age and tell us what you think of the camp today?
I'm 18, and I think the camp was pretty wonderful. Able to teach the kids something that's useful, and that they can use further in life. So I think it's pretty good.
What part of the camp did you like?
I like the traditional games most, just because it teaches us more about our culture and how we learned and back in the old days before there was school and stuff, how they ingrained us with these games and pretty much adapted our ways and kind of think the word. They sculpted us pretty much, our skill set, to better survive in the old days. So I think it was pretty good. I like the traditional games.
Okay, I have Acton, Shirley here right now. And I'm going to interview him. He's the one who taught the basketball camp. And how tall are you and where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm 7 foot tall. My name is Acton Shirley.
And how? What grade are you in, and what's your future plans?
I'm a rising senior. I plan to attend college off of a basketball scholarship, and hopefully I can go pro.
How is it teaching Native children?
It's very fun. I'm glad to have the chance to experience this and spread the word and teach them.
What part, did you go to the traditional games?
Yes, ma'am. I had a really good time at the traditional games, learning about the original games that they played, and it was a very good experience.
I have here Acton's grandfather. His name is Leonard, and he has always helped the center pool with our electrical problem, and I'm very thankful for him that he's here with his family. Can you say something on our radio?
I'll be glad to. It's just always fun to be out here. We've been out here several years now, and it's always a blessing to us to get to come and to help. And I was thrilled when Acton was asked to come and to help these kids with the fundamentals of basketball. And I didn't know a whole lot about basketball myself until he got started playing. And now that he has, I've got to where I really enjoy it myself. And I can see it as really as a traditional game. is I watched these kids yesterday playing double ball. My kids were involved in that, and they just had a ball with it. So, you know, I guess no matter where we are around over the country, kids are the same, and they all enjoy having a good time and competing with one another, and I enjoy watching it and seeing it and doing the help out. I enjoy that as well. We've been very blessed on the way out here, and the Lord's taking care of us. Well, all of our lives, and I'm satisfied he'll continue to do the same for us. I have no reason not to believe the same thing. Thank you. Thank you, Peggy. I appreciate the meal and inviting us to be out here and make a lot of good friends. I always enjoy it, always.
Thank you very much. And here I have one of my clan mothers, and her name, I'm going to have her introduce herself. And she's been a big, one of our great elder women who is very wise and who really kind of gives us support, gives the center pole support in what we do. So I'm going to interview her.
Alyssa, you want?
My name is Caroline. I'm with the Degan Clan and Child of Greasy Mouth. And I love children. I have children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of my very own. But I also have my clan children, and they're just as close and dear to me as my very own. Glad to be a part of this Peggy's programs, and I do support her 100% as much as I can. And that's about it, and may God bless all of you.
Okay. And right now I have Jada. Come here. Jada is one of our younger ones who's attending the camp, so I want to interview her. So what did you think of this camp here and what we're teaching you? What part do you like?
I like playing basketball.
Tell them.
I like shooting. I like shooting and I like play ball and I have fun.
Okay, that's Jada. Jada, tell them how old you are.
I'm 9 years old.
Anyway, so these are the people here. And Donna has been on the program once, and that was at the Hopa Mountain conference in April? And she's visiting today, so she sees the politics and everything going on, what the center people face day to day. So anyway, Donna, can you say hi to the people all over? Here, you can hold
it. Hello, people all over. Happy to be talking to you from beautiful Crow Country in Montana. And it's a wonderful place to be. We've got folks here from Georgia and all around. Gathered here to help make this camp wonderful. And back to you, Peggy.
Hi, this is Susie. Glad you could meet us here in the parking lot in Crow Agency. Live. We're right next door to the rodeo grounds, and that's about it. There's a police station not too far. There's a hospital, and there's an old age home. Oh, yes, and for Viata especially, this is the teepee capital of the world starting August 17th.
Yay!
Yay! We're so excited. So any questions about anything we've said?
Well, I'm feeling the energy of all these beautiful people gathered there tonight or today. You've got a basketball player who's 7 feet tall. And are these people they've driven from Atlanta? Was that right?
Yes. Yes.
So most of the people that you're interviewing, are they there from other states?
No, just there's a family from Georgia, and that's Acton and his father and his mother and his cousins and his sister. And they came to do this basketball camp that we combined with the International Traditional Games. And then the rest of the people that you talk to are all from this area. Donna is from Bozeman, but everybody else is from Crow Agency, the children that you talk to. We're just standing in the parking lot while it's raining.
So is this like a pre-Crow Festival event?
Excuse me?
Is this like a pre-Crow Festival event, or is this just something that was scheduled?
Well, no. It just happened that this was the time that Acton could come and do a basketball camp. So it just happened to coordinate with the International Traditional Games. So that's how it all came together. There's a lot of activities here during the summer. Not a lot. A few youth participate in a few activities, but the summer is the busiest year of the rest of the year. So there's lots of things going on, and sometimes they collide in schedule like this one, but this one worked out really well because the kids that were studying the International Traditional Games are same athletes that usually play basketball. So Acton was here to talk to them and to be with them to show that people can play basketball and go to college.
Okay. I'm curious, did Acton have both female and male people or students in the camp?
Yes.
Oh, great. And what were the age ranges? Are they all high school?
I would say the youngest was like 8 or 9. I think the youngest was like 8 or 9. Yeah, Jada was 9, so she was the youngest. And then I think they had kids up to 17.
Wow, that's awesome. So I'm wondering, how did he feel about the response from the kids there?
I think, are you asking about how Acton responded?
How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, he was really good. He's really easygoing, and he just got with the kids. And, you know, when you start playing ball and you love ball and everyone loves ball, it's kind of a unifying thing. So we were lucky enough to get the biggest building here to hold our basketball camp in the evening. But somehow the schedule got mixed up, and it's all caused by politics. And so we had to cut it short today, which kind of worked out. Mm-hmm. We're eating out of the back of a car here. We brought sandwiches and all this so everybody could eat. So that's why we were standing out in the rain instead of being in the basketball court area.
Now, is this for more than one day?
Yeah, this one is 3 days.
Okay, great.
We've had a past basketball camp called Unity Hoops. Sort of, this is all sort of the same project. That was 3 weeks long. And that included playing basketball, basketball skills, basketball tricks. But we've never had a place to hold it. So we have to hold it outside, and sometimes it's too hot. So we were very thankful to have this indoor, even for one night of the camp, we were happy to have this indoor place to hold, to use the indoor court. The other part of Unity Hoops is teaching kids how to turn their passion for basketball into passion to make change in the community. So at that basketball camp we've had for the last 5 years, kids talk about how they feel about their community and things they hope could change. And it was like kind of like a school session in the mornings, and then in the afternoons they would play basketball. This year we didn't have the basketball camp long enough to be able to do that also. But there are some participants that came to that one for 5 years.
That is so exciting to hear that. I'm so glad the kids have something so productive to get involved in.
Well, it's fun. It's fun for all of us. Even Caroline, who we ran into, was so excited to come here and, you know, share dinner with us and sit and talk about how she felt about it, because she's an elder. She lives at home. I think she's 83, and she was happy to participate. So, you know, it's all ages.
Yeah, Caroline mentioned she was part of the Egan clan.
Pegan. P-I-E-G-A-N. Pegan. P-I-E-G-A-N.
And what exactly
is the Pegan clan is a clan. There's six Crow clans, and the Pegans are known for their treacherous exploits in battle and for being very crafty leaders. Clan, you're born into your mother's clan, and each clan has its characteristics.
Okay.
So Peggy's clan is the Bad Word Deeds clan. I think we talked about this before. And her clan is known for being very creative and willing to take a lot of risks and being clumsy.
Okay.
The use of the clan system, and I think we talked about this before too, is that your clan fathers pray for you. If you have a problem or you have something you feel like needs prayers, you call on your clan fathers. And your clan fathers are, I believe, your father's relatives. So, Peggy... She's a Bad Word Eats. In Crow, it's called Eshkepkawea. Her clan fathers are Pegans, because that's what her father, the clan he had. So when she has anything she has to do culturally, she calls on her clan fathers, Pegans. And she has to pick somebody from there to come pray for her or do special things. It's, you know, it's sort of like having a spiritual warrior for you.
So does that mean Caroline and Peggy are related somehow?
Clan-wise... Caroline would be her clan father. I mean, clan mother.
Okay.
So you have your regular blood relatives, and then you have your extended family, and then you have your clan family. So you can be related in many ways here.
It reminds me of the traditional American families, how sometimes you're not as close to your blood relatives, but your extended spiritual family, so to speak, you're closer to. Is that the case sometimes on the reservation?
Yeah, sometimes that is true.
Okay. I understand. Thank you. So you have other guests lined up there, or you all are eating your dinner?
There's a huge crowd of youth who are eating, and they're all lining up behind Peggy's van. So we don't have really any other guests tonight.
Okay. Well, you have to tell us what's going on in preparation for the Crow Fest.
The Crow Fair, Well, everybody's there. It's a big area, and it has to all be mowed. It's got these shades, because everybody sets their teepee up, and then they have a shade next to it so that everybody can, the family can sit underneath it and all their visitors. So they have to prepare the fair site, and that involves making sure there are no snakes or anything by mowing the grass. So that's what everybody's doing right now. So there's a lot of movement. And then you'll see on Sunday, that's when people will start to put up their teepees. And it's quite an ordeal to put teepees up, and you have special people. I think we talked about this in another show, about how you're a teepee upper, and you go around and help people put their teepees up. So there's a lot of money to be made, because you must pay these teepee uppers for putting your teepees up. So that will be going on starting heavy Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then as the week goes on, you see more and more teepees and more people bring everything, and everyone starts sleeping there, and it becomes this huge hubbub of energy. That and then on Thursday night is when I think they're having, I think Wednesday night they might be having a rodeo, but Thursday they're having the first dances, the first crow dances, and then Friday it goes into intertribal dances. And then that'll go on all weekend. So there's a lot of people coming together for this.
That's what I hear. And then when I heard something about traveling to Yellowstone Park.
Well, that's the plan. There's a big buffalo prayer going on in Yellowstone on the 20th. And it's buffalo dancers and buffalo cheerleaders all coming together in the park. I still don't know what time it's going to happen, so I don't know many of the details. But the original idea was to march through Yellowstone. They were going to have a walk for 3 days to protect buffalo. But now it's just limited to 1 day. I think in the middle of tourist season, Yellowstone thought they couldn't handle all those people.
Ah.
So I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but that's the plan. And it's part of the buffalo campaign, which is to protect the buffalo and open up the corridor from New Mexico to Canada so that the buffalo can roam once more.
Okay. Has that always been the path from New Mexico to Canada?
It's always been the migratory path. Actually, I think it's from Mexico to Canada, but right up through Montana and New Mexico and Colorado and everything.
Interesting. And then
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We have another visitor, and he will introduce himself and talk about what he's doing.
Hi, my name is Wesley Stopson Jr. from Crow Agency. I'm the Youth Empowerment Coordinator for the Crow Tribe and for the Montana Board of Crime Controls. This week we're having a Junior Police Academy. We are accepting applicants ages 10 years old to 17, teaching them the basics of law enforcement as far as patrol, investigations, dispatch, corrections, and different procedures with federal and tribal law, as well as cultural values, men and women, cultural values, also how to put up a teepee and put down a teepee, and teaching them discipline on how to be able to follow instruction and be able to become a leader.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, ma'am.
So how long are you going to be teaching that? How many days is that going to take?
Today was our first day. We started off at 8 a.m. We're just now getting done with our classes, and fitness center will be coming in and doing physical activities with the kids, and then they'll be camped out here, and I'll be camped out with them today, tomorrow, Thursday, and half of Friday, and we'll have a graduation on Friday, 10 o'clock a.m.
And then you give them a badge and put them in a uniform, right?
Well, actually, they'll be given the opportunity to be a part of the Explore program, which they'll have a chance to patrol with BIA police during the Crow Fair celebration and during the weekends during school time. So, yeah, they'll be basically be given the opportunity to experience law enforcement at a different level.
Wow, that's awesome. Are you having any of the issues that the rest of the country is having with police officers?
We have issues, but they're not as great as the other country or anybody anywhere else in the United States. Sometimes we have shortage of police officers. Sometimes we have different police officers from different tribes come in, and some don't just understand our customs, our culture, tradition, and our way of life, and it kind of hinders a little bit, but nothing too outrageous like all the other law enforcement issues that have been happening across the country. But we try to support our law enforcement as best we could, and try to build a rapport and help them as best we could to report our crimes and get them investigated and whatnot.
Okay, so you have actual police officers who are protecting and serving rather than killing and injuring, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's good. That's positive. So that means there's a lot of community involvement. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am. Definitely. We have about 7 or 8 different federal, tribal, and local entities coming together on this camp and coming together and just educating the community and bringing children in and educating them, and as well as allowing the parents to be involved as well.
Awesome. Now, can I ask, how old are you?
I am actually 39 years old. I've had law enforcement experience for 6 years with tribal and Bureau of Indian Affairs, Department of Justice, or Department of Interior, Justice.
So did you think about this as a career when you were young? How did you get into this field?
Actually, my father has been in law enforcement for 28 years, and I just kind of fell into his footsteps and his shoes and kind of following his path. But I'm also going in a direction of getting my bachelor's in human services and also a certification in licensed addiction counseling here in Billings, Montana, at the Montana State University, Billings.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yes, no problem.
So all the best in your festivities this week.
Thank you. And we appreciate this interview and hope that you get more interviews as you go along. God bless.
Oh, bless you too. So how's Peggy and Susie carrying on right now?
Yeah, hold on. They're going to have you interview a couple of the cadets that are here, if that's okay.
It's her show.
Introduce yourself. Yeah.
Hello, this is Latrell Ellimil. Part of the...
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Just now got done eating.
And then give it to him.
I came over because give me something to do, give me busy. And like today we went and watched some clips on drug and alcohol. We watched some clips on about how that and better choices and stuff like that. And good, listen to a good song that somebody wrote when they were in treatment. And it was pretty good. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then we walked back over to the camp area there, and now we're just hanging out.
So what did you learn about the drug and alcohol? Did you talk about solutions or just talk about the problem?
Yeah, talk about the solutions, talk about our problems, if we related to them or anything, if we could relate to them, or that, and then just kind of looked into the stuff that they put on there for us and asked us about it and our opinions about it, and we talked about it. And
yeah, we have somebody else. Maybe you can tell us about what you've been doing.
All right, my name's Timothy Jefferson. And we've just been so far acquainting ourselves with our sergeant and our leaders. And like Latrell said, just watch some clips on drug and alcohol abuse and how if someone's in need, we could help them. That's about it as far as we got.
So, Timothy, how do you see the solutions for drug and alcohol on the reservation, the drug and alcohol problems? What do you see as some of the solutions? Are you getting enough information about the problem and the solutions, and has it affected you personally in any way?
Yeah. In fact, my life has been affected by alcohol. Most of my family has been by alcohol, so I'm strongly against it, and just been, well, like, trying to prevent it. Probably start talking to people about it as well.
So when you say your family's been affected, what are you talking about, mother, father, siblings? Give us some insight. Many people listening are very aware that on the reservation there's alcohol problem, drug problems. There's even a TV show on Netflix that talks about all the negative problems. But what do you have to say to people listening about your experience with the problem and the hope that you have to help your tribal members overcome it?
Well, it's mainly that like my dad when he was younger and when I was young too, and it's just been around in there, and I just like really encourage people not to go that way because it could really destroy people and families.
Okay, this is Susie again. Thank you so much for your interview. That was really good. I love to hear people talk. We're just here over here at this police camp camp out, and these two were willing to talk. So, you know, I think that's really good for Crow Voices to have youth expressing their opinions and expressing their journey.
Yeah, thank you for giving us some insight with the people involved in helping bring solutions. That's what we want to really hear more and more about, because we hear so much about the problems, and it's kind of sad what's going on the reservation. But it's nice to hear from especially the youth who have experienced some of the alcohol and drug problems in their own family, and yet – now they're talking to others about preventing and finding ways to overcome. So are you seeing that today? Is there a kind of an excitement where people see solutions more than the problem?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think the more projects here, where youth can express their opinion and express their own journey, the more you find out about the people. I didn't really know these two youth that were talking, but they sounded like they came here for a reason. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that sounds like exciting. The more there, how many people there are and today, and then how many would you say are in the youth category as opposed to adults?
About more than a third are under 18.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Peggy again. So there's a lot of excitement going on here, and a lot of different young kids that are faced with alcoholism. Because most of these kids that are participating now here in this police camp have already been in trouble with drugs and alcohol. Some of them are on probation. A lot of them are on probation. And a lot of them, I mean, some of them came by choice, but some of them had to, fulfill their probation. And one of them is to participate in any kind of youth activity that the drug and alcohol programs provide. And that's why they're all here right now, is because, a lot of our youth, we're just losing our youth to alcohol and drugs. And it's just really sad. And, you know, I asked one of the guys that is, men that is part of the camp, I said, why can't you go to the juvenile delinquent center? It's on the Northern Cheyenne, and Crow kids are there. Why can't you do something about, can you do something for them? Get them out, have them camp, because I said a lot of them are in there for their first offense. Like some of them are picked up with alcohol, and alcohol on the reservation is a federal offense because our reservation is dry. And no alcohol, you cannot have alcohol on the Crow reservation. If you do, it's a federal offense. So that means you go to jail and you're hit by, you're charged with delinquent. Not delinquent, but alcohol possession. And all of this is going on. And then the other thing is a lot of them are here. A lot of them are here for, excuse me.
Susie, can you close that? Close it.
I had to have her close it back because there was all this noise coming in. And Susie had the back door open. Anyway, so a lot of them are charged with first offense, like if they're out. We have a curfew in some places, and there's kids that are arrested, like 10. I think the youngest one I've seen arrested was like 6 years old because of being drunk, because of being out all night. And, we have a lot of, I don't know where they get their alcohol, but someone brings it in. We have bootleggers on the reservation you know, who sell alcohol. We also have drug places who sell drugs to these kids, and, you know, they're picked up by the police left and right. So the community had to do something about how what they can give or what they can do to sort of help the youth to become better, or at least to keep out of jails. The facility in Busby is so horrifying. And I'm going to give this mic to Susie a minute, because I need a drink of water or something.
Okay, and we have Mama AZ has a question. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Just thanks, sister. Miss Susie, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very grateful. I'm sitting here. I have a little coffee pot that I have by my bed, and my stones in a little turtle coffee cup, and I'm heating them and rubbing Peggy's special stone, because tomorrow I go back to the doctor to get assessment. And I'm excited about that. And just grateful. I want to say, Miss Susie, you must reach out to Gift, because she called while you were speaking on the show earlier, and I couldn't flip over or switch over, but that, to me, that's a sign. So please reach out.
Well, I actually, you told me to call her, and I did right after we talked. And I texted her, and she said she'd been in the hospital, and she had a kidney something, I forget what it was, kidney surgery. And she said she was glad that I called, and I told her that you had said to call, that you felt like I should. And then I wrote her a long email, well, not exactly long, but, you know, extensive one.
You were
right on target that she was having challenges.
Yes. Well, a lot of things have been coming to me, but that's another time privately. I want to, when I was there, I think it was 2004, to meet with Ron, his horse is Thunder, that's Sitting Bull's great grandson. He was the president of Sitting Bull's College. And I befriended a lot of people during that time. And I ended up going to a powwow in Porcupine. A matter of fact, some of those stones from that powwow are there up in Virginia. And I met this young brother. I interviewed him, and he was a part of, like, your social services. He wasn't from Crow Agency. He was from the agency that's near Porcupine, near Fort Yates. And so he told me, he says, Lee, you must take your rose-colored glasses off. I have this on film, him saying this to me. You must take your rose-colored glasses off when you're mesmerized by our young people. And you're looking at the costumes. And he says, I want to be frank with you. Do you realize that our young people, our youth, are wanting to be like the other part of you? You mean, and I said, you mean you want to say black, but you don't know how to say it? He says, yeah. He says, they wear do-rags and baggy clothes. We have drive-bys. We have meth labs. And everything, they want to be like your side, your youth. And I was just shocked. He says, so you must wake up, you know, and smell the coffee, because our youth are having issues in a major way, you know, alcohol and there in Rapid City, before you really get into Rapid City, South Dakota, there is a youth, I call it Vacation Bible School, and it's nothing but youth. And I had to stop to use the phone, and the energy was so, it mesmerized me in a not a good way. You could feel it. You could cut it with a knife. It's nothing but youth. And I was told that those youth are there for everything. So the reason that I said all of this, how is it now? This was 04, and this is 2016. Has the drive-bys gotten worse, or they're nipping it in the bud on the res? I'm asking. Hello?
We're here. I just wanted Peggy to answer it, since she is a resident here. I don't know if it's gotten worse, but there are a lot of youth here who want to emulate African American. What they perceive as African American culture. And I think they get a lot of it from music and TV and things like that. So, I mean, I just think that's true. That's true everywhere.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think the thing that has happened is it's not just alcohol anymore. It's also meth. And apparently people who drink usually take meth with it. Well, that adds a whole other dimension. You know, the damage to the body, and you know, once you get off of it, you can't function. It's not like you recover from it, and that's the bad part. I mean, I don't know how to judge if something's, you know, worse or not, but that meth thing really does make it worse.
That, you know, that's what he said, and I was just in awe. Before I too long, I'm going to go through all of my films, because I got about 1,500 or more of document of filming of all of those journeys, that all those times that I was there back and forth with you and everybody all over this planet. So thank you for letting the world know. I really appreciate the interview with the young policeman. It reminds me of when I was in Wounded Knee at Kyle at the Lakota College, and I interviewed Bill Montalou. I don't ever know what happened to him, but he was telling me about Chief Frank Fool's Crow and the bringing back up the buffalo, all of that I have on film. So I'm so grateful to be a part of sharing the extension or the awakening of Crow Voices and Centerpol. It really helps me during this time of healing. So I love you guys. I love you so much, so much.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I'll be out there to get my buffalo wrap. So, yeah, I'm coming. I'm asking the Creator to open up that gate. So you and Piggy, get ready, Miss Susie, because I mean that. Love you. I hope. Love us. I hope.
I wanted to ask Arizona. Did Did Jimmy, the artist, tell you about how he painted Sitting Bull on the side of our building?
I was listening. I see, my family, when I have these dreams and I call them up, and I knew that my dad had been here. He's here now. And when I heard about Sitting Bull, I texted Sister Beata, and I said, "Oh my God, my dad is there with them. I mean, I'm coming, y'all, because that is definitely a sign that my dad is a major part of bringing me to you." So now, this building, what building is this? Your cafe, or what building?
It's the big warehouse building. Do you remember that? It was like, it's like.
Yes.
It's so, just a big metal building, and it's longest side is along I-90. And we used to have a sign on it that said, our community thrift store. But Jimmy came, he said, "You know, you're really wasting that space. I think you should do an artistic creation on there." And so he decided he was going to paint, because it's on the battlefield.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you take a picture? My phone will not take
it. Yeah, he has one.
No. I mean, can you post it along with the other pictures that you guys took at GIFs and over here at Vanilla Bright's World? Can you post it on my Facebook page? I mean,
I think so.
Oh, Miss Susie.
But you'll
Thank
love it.
You.
It's so dramatic, and he painted in ledger style. It's the size of the building is 12 feet high, so the painting is 12 feet by about 20 feet.
Well, my dad. Let me ask you one more thing. Now that you brought this up, is there enough room? Can you section off enough room to have a design studio, a fashion design studio? Is there enough room in that building?
We have several. There's two floors. There's the bottom floor, and then there's the top floor. So I'm sure we could do something.
So now what has been coming to me since I met you, it has gotten clearer this week, and I want to put it out there into the atmosphere, into the ether. I saw a design studio like New York, like Indian Country. The Big Sky Country, all of the surrounding, I mean, you know, even the Northern Cheyenne, even other tribes, it should be included. I mean, I know traditionally they do not. However, that's why Peggy has that center pole, okay? And I saw, like, people go to New York or they go to L.A. Most people go to New York to break into fashion design. I chose to go to L.A. and then San Diego. I didn't want to bring my children up in New York way back in the day when I started designing. And I see that at that center pole. I see, and what I have left, I want to see if Sister Viata and I, with the help of my dad, Chief Frank Fullscroll, everybody, Sitting Bull, everybody, bring together a design studio that will be on the level of New York, right there at that Central Pole, Paris. People go to Paris to design. That can be also at Central Pole, because when I started having these visions, all I saw were regalia. And I'm just amazed at the regalia, the artwork. I always have been. I've never been vibrationally in line for some reason with the African garb. I mean, I made it. I did it. That was then. This is now. And the regalia, when I see those little tiny tots, In the little tiny powwows, I'm just at awe, and now is the time for ones to key up those machines and do what they do and let spirit see. Montana has a certain vibration. And especially over there at that center pole, you see. And it's a place that when you come into Billings, it's, I can't remember, but I have it on film. It's a vortex there. And I told you this before, Susie, but I'm and now the Sitting Bull is over there on that building. My dad is saying, whatever it takes, you find a way to share everything that you have when it comes to getting a design school at Center Pole. I am serious as a heart attack. I saw it in 2003 and it's more clear now. So I'm just only asking.
Well, it's just Arizona's. We just had a sign. A sign just happened. Did you hear that radio noise?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's something that has been wrong with every car we have had, center pole vehicle. Every van turns on randomly at different times, and the radio comes on. And it just came on again when you were talking. So that must be a sign, because it always comes.
And my dad would say, "What you say, my boy?" Well, okay. What time is it? What time is it over there that radio came on?
It's 7. Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. I don't know what time it is. It's like 7 o'clock, I think.
Wait a minute. Wait. What did you say? It came on at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's the Most High saying, hello, do you hear us now? We're trying to tell you that's what you need to do. Seven.
Well, that's why we always think that, because whenever, when just at certain times, the car radio just comes on blasting. And it's happened in two different vehicles, three different vehicles. And
okay.
We have no explanation for it.
Well, in the Angel Book, in the Angel Book, Peggy and Miss Susie, it says at 700 or 7 o'clock, it says God and the universe congratulate you on the wonderful path that you're on. Keep up the good work. And my dad would say, "What you saying, my boy?" I can't get up and get my drum.
No, you better not get up and do anything. You got to be healed first.
Oh, boy, I love it. I love it. I hope. Thank us. Okay, I love it. I got chill bumps now. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Susie. Thank you. It will make it happen. What was that?
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that the most, I don't know. It's just, I think it's Frank Poole's girl.
Peggy, I'm not joking. Peggy, don't joke with me like that.
Well, in the crow saying is that we don't say the names of the people who have died the past. You know, when we say their names, you know, we'll say Kalahilelasak, like we'll say, we know you're no longer on this earth, but I'm gonna say your name. You know, we kind of ask permission before we say their names. You know, like loudly. You know, like when we talk about the deceased. So we kind of get permission before we say their names, and I think you said his name, you know, and used his name.
I apologize.
No, don't apologize for it. He just let us know he was listening.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, Peggy, that's deep. All right, Peggy, well known Buffalo. I hear you now. Okay, I'll be quiet. Next, I hope. Ooh, I love it. Thank you, Sister Viata.
You're welcome. I'm listening. This is exciting. It's nothing like getting signs that when the radio comes on at 7 o'clock exactly.
Yeah. Isn't that just crazy?
That's
Hello?
Pretty crazy. Yes.
So anyway, that's been I've had a real busy week, and we had a basketball camp, traditional games, then the guests stay in here. So we were quite busy. And one of the things is, you know, if the academy, the police, and the drug and alcohol programs, you know, could have coordinated with the traditional games and the basketball game, you know, the basketball camp. We could have had a real
impactful
opportunities for all these kids. Instead, everyone was pulling them each way. The traditional games, people caught them in the morning. Then the police academy or the police, the Bureau of Indian Affairs Police Department, they have to spend some of their money for outreach or whatever they're doing. And they'll go steal kids from the traditional games and try to drag them into their workshops. And then on the other side of that was the horse, traditional horse games, which they were playing games on horses. The way back, they're taught how to ride horses and how they would play games. So there were like four workshops going on. And all these kids that came to these workshops were kind of like kids that are left up to pitch for themselves during the day. So they come to events like this. So if someone says, you come here and join me right now, they'll go and join them, you know, because they don't have a mother or a father or a grandparent that says, no, you better, you know, you're supposed to participate in this one, you know. So these kids, these poor kids, were just torn on where to go. So, of course, the police came into our, right in there, the BIA police, came right in, Bureau of Indian Affairs policeman, came right into our basketball camp and said, you guys come with me, and took about 7 kids from our camp and took them over to their camp. And here I made enough sandwiches for 50 participants of my camp, 50 kids. And then when I get there, they all were taken over to the police camp. So I don't know. So I went over to the police camp and I said, I made dinner for all of these kids you've taken from our basketball camp. But can I come back and feed them? And they said, sure. So that's why we were over there spending time with those kids and giving them sandwiches and saying it's going to be going on tomorrow. So, and it's just was not coordinated by, and these are all tribal people, meaning it's not the tribe, but tribal people who have programs going. But the center pole, this is our first time ever trying to coordinate something with the traditional games. But we didn't know this police stuff was, this camp was going on. If it was drug and alcohol camp they were doing, what's going on. If we would have known, I know the guy that came out here 3 or 4 times, came out here 4 or 3 times to meet with me, maybe more, that if they could use do the talking circle here at my place. And I said, sure, you can use the building. We have the cultural center. And he came and used it a couple of times, and then he wanted to coordinate having his kid, kids that are on probation to come here and do my program. But what I said was, I want to know what these kids, why they're on probation, and I will work with you on the probation issue. But I need to know, because the kids I have here haven't been in trouble yet, And I said, and they know what kind of, what is required here. So we haven't really been able to sort of sit down, him and his part, and it's just really kind of something the ones that are running the programs have to figure out. And then the traditional great games people, I've met with them several times, and they were talking about everything we're doing, and they get most of their kids from me, from our thing here. So we make sure our kids are over there participating. So, it's just so confusing for these kids. I really feel sorry for these kids, and it's the adults that are, especially the police officers were bullying. They were using their bullying. You come with me right now, you're going to my program. And, the kids couldn't say no. And then when I went over and talked to their kids, or the ones they stole from us, really, were already sitting over there. I said, how many of you guys have been over to the traditional games and the basketball camp? And they had their heads down. They wouldn't even raise it. Then I thought, why did I ask them that? But then I said, well, I want to bring dinner to you guys. And they just smiled. And when I got there, they were so happy. They said, thank you, and all of this stuff. But then they get God and Jesus mixed in with this. And then that's even more confusing for them. And it's just, I don't know. It's just something we have to work through, and it's very confusing. Any questions?
Yes. Wow. If anyone on the board in the studio or on the phone, if you have a question, press the number 1, and I'll open up your mic. But, wow, thank you, Peggy. we are really feeling like we're part of this day with you, because I feel your frustration and the confusion that has occurred. But I think the good thing is that these kids today need to see that they are worth spending time with, that you are giving them this attention, that the adults are at least showing some love to them in a way, even if it, I think if it's confusing for some of them. I think the bottom line is that they're going to feel loved at the end of the day. At least I hope so. Do you think they picked up the energy that these adults are trying to help me, or do you think they're going to go away feeling like, oh, that was a little too much? Or how do you think the kids are receiving all this attention?
I think the kids. Hello, are you there? Hello.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
I think. I mean, what I see is going on is that these kids are the ones that are taking the traditional games. Like Billy, he refused to go with the. He stood up to the police academy. I mean, the police. It's not police academy. It's the police workshop and the prevention workshop. He said, no, I don't need that yet. I'm not going to go. I got to do my traditional games. And he stayed with the traditional games. He stayed with the traditional games because he wanted to. And when I interviewed him, he had the best time. Now, the kids that went to the traditional games learned something of the past ancestors of how they played all these games, Indian games, Native American games, and then how to ride the horse and how those games were performed. So Billy stayed through all of that, and plus making a bow and arrows and with the willow and everything. So he painted all their, made their games handmade. So he got all of that, and he stayed with them. Now, the police academy kids were standing still. They couldn't talk to anyone, and they were marching, and they were doing like hut, hut, you know, all those old Marine or Army exercises, because their teachers are ex-Marines, ex-Army men, and police officers, like a police, you know, school or something. And they were playing like that. And then you go to the basketball camp, and the basketball camp were a bunch of kids who were really having fun because they were being taught life skills, you know, how do you get, you know, how you become and what, you know, how you can play the game and, you know, how do, you know, you do all of this stuff to make it to the top. And what you need to learn in school is to stay in school and do good grades, even to make it. So the basketball was really good for them after the traditional games, because ours was scheduled from 5 to 7, only 2 hours, and in the morning the kids were there from 8 to 4. And then at 5 it was the basketball camp. And then after that it was like a whole day of them being doing things. But through this they rest, and through this they're doing painting and things, so their minds are constantly going. Whereas the drug and alcohol program, you know, as it is, they feel bad. I saw many of those kids in that had to be there. They were on probation. Like, they really look sad. And I was looking at them, and I kind of thought, you know, they needed to be over there at the traditional games. They needed to be at the basketball camp. They needed to get some of that aggressiveness out of them, because that's where the violence comes in, because with our minds, with our brain and stuff, you have to keep the other part going. And the only good signs I've seen with a lot of kids here is with the traditional games. I've seen improvement on these kids and working, like even pulling weeds out of the garden and stuff. And this one little girl said, "I can't pull these weeds." And I said, "Why don't you try to pull it out really hard?" And she goes, "Well, I'm not angry right now. I can't really jerk it because I'm not angry right now." And I said, "Oh, well, maybe you have to feel angry to get those big, huge weeds out." And she says, "Okay." So she was just stripping them. She was just jerking them out. Then after she did her little pile, she was taking them to the compost. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she says, "Man, that felt good." She said, "It was a lot better than I," she said, "it's a lot easier than I thought," because she said, "I thought of all the people who talked ugly to me." And I said, "Oh, my gosh." And she said, "Yeah, even the kids that fight me in school, or I fight them." And she said, "Oh, it just felt good." And, you know, she was able to express her feeling about her angriness and she said, she was able to do that, and I was so grateful for that. So all of this, doing this work, is really a healing, a healing for these children.
Now, you mentioned that there was religion involved. Is that with the BIA? They're preaching about Jesus and God in the BIA? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, of course.
Really?
Of course. There's no, that church and state cross here all the time.
Wow. Is that because it's a written rule or something with the BIA, or is it just the people involved are Christians? How does that happen?
Well, it just depends on what families are involved or what the individuals believe. They always, you know, they don't.
And now you interviewed with a preacher.
Yeah, the man who was speaking for them, Wesley Stops Jr., he's a preacher.
Wesley who?
The youngish man that we interviewed over there at the camp. He's 39, Wesley Stops Jr. He's a preacher.
Okay. And he's with the BIA, working with the BIA?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it just depends on what people are personally, you know. They put it into their work.
Well, I would think there would be some objection to that if the some of the families don't believe that way. Have you ever heard that?
I'm sure people do object to it, but around here, there's kind of bigger things to object to.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's just that everybody's used to it. They know the families that are very fundamentalists, and they know the families that are traditional, and it's just a big mixed bag here.
That's interesting. Well, like Peggy said, it seems to be more effective to get them involved in their traditional ways of games and sports and sweat lodges and sun dances. That's what's healing, but some people are slow to realize that, I guess.
I think so. I think people don't really understand. I don't know if I'm going to describe this very well, but it's like I think people have not ever questioned being proselytized to. They've never thought really what that meant. They don't think like that. And the thing about the traditional games is that it taps something that's way within, deep within the children that maybe they don't realize. But it's interesting to see that when they study these things and they make these things and they play these games, that this little bright light opens up in them that maybe they don't even know, you know, they're not aware where it comes from. But it's because it's the old way, and it's because it's the sixth sense that's awoken in them. They just brighten right up. And, you know, I know that the beginning of the games this year was a little bit disorganized, just because this is the first time they've done it in Crow, and they, you know, they do it all over Montana, but they've never done it here. Usually people come to them. So it was a completely different thing doing it in this community. And I know it was, you know, they had to depend on resources from here, and it was, you know, it's different. But every time you ask someone like Billy, who is 11, and then somebody like Ryan, who's 18, they all like it. They last time they went to it at the beginning of the summer, it was different classes. They all came back with this, that was really neat. That was really neat, you know, and they're just so happy. And it must be because it touches, you know, things that haven't really been touched in them for a long time. And it's neat to see, no matter how far a child is from their traditional roots, they go right back to it when they play those games. It must be in the genes. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Any more questions? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. No, I don't have any questions right now from the studio board. You can proceed.
Okay, since we don't have any more questions and stuff, I'm going to call it an evening. I have to unload the van and all this stuff we took, equipment we took to the I'm like 5 miles away from where we had the basketball camp, and I just drove to the house just now, so I'm going to unload some stuff and put it away, and since there are no other questions.
And all your guests are gone?
Yeah, no, they're here. They've already gone to their, where they're staying, and I just pulled up to the center, to the cultural center.
Okay. Well, if
and,
we don't have any more
people. Well, so you're going to be coming in for Crow Fair, and this week we're going to be getting ready for the camp, so we still have a lot to do.
Yeah, I'll send you my itinerary either tonight or tomorrow. I've already booked my flight. I get in on Thursday, and I can't remember what time, and then I leave Tuesday afternoon, I think around noon. So I'll send you that information, guess, to Susie's email. And then I'm bringing my movie camera and my drum. Mama AZ reminded me to take my drum that she gave me with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm looking for...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you for sharing tonight. I'm just so much more educated and enlightened about what's going on again on the reservation. So
We appreciate you so much, Peggy and Susie and your whole family, for sharing this amazing journey that you're on to heal the land and the people.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Good night. Good night, you guys.
Good night.
Aho and
Aho.